Welcome to El Paso Primetime. Information for everyone, especially those who live in the third age.
This is the town and these are the people. This is the town where the people all stay. This is the town and these are the people. That's the way they wanted it. That's the way it's going to stay.
Welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu, and I'm blessed to be sitting here with two wonderful folks who are going to talk about this upcoming event here in El Paso called Under a Tuscan Sky. And with me this afternoon, Linda Velarde, the executive director of Via Maria, and Father Ron Gonzalez from Sacred Heart Church. Welcome to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you. It's good to
Thank
be
you.
Here, Dennis.
Thank you for having us.
Let's start first by talking about the fundraiser. This sounds like fun. When I saw this up on Facebook, I thought, you know what? I got to go.
Yes, you do have to go. And it's our eighth year of doing it, and it seems to be getting bigger every year. So we're having to start sooner, preparing for it every year. And we always have a really good cast of characters, and this year is no exception. We have some wonderful celebrities that we'll be auctioning off. And then, you know, of course, there's the wine and tapas that you got to look, come and taste.
Mm-hmm. Under Tuscan Sky is a fundraiser for a marvelous program that's been underway. And some people have yet to hear about Via Maria, and others just love being able to donate as much as they can, either in time or in goods for Via Maria. Father Ron, Linda, let's talk about Via Maria and how important it is to our community.
Well, its inception came about by doing a social analysis. As Jesuits, we like to look at the situation and ask the question, what's missing? Who's falling through the cracks? And a previous pastor here, two previous pastors, Father Rafael Garcia, along with Sister Helen Santa Maria and Sister Carmen Aurora, got together and they realized that there was a population of people, women, homeless women, that were falling through the cracks. And so the inception was, that's how it began. And it has grown. It has grown in support. And this particular event, this is my third time attending an event like this, the Wine and Tapas. It's a marvelous event. It's got style. It's got panache. It's put together really well. And it's the main fundraiser for Via Maria.
When we speak of Via Maria, we, at least in the mainstream media, sadly enough, we come together at Christmas and Thanksgiving and we try to help. Mm-hmm. But in the community, we actually should be helping 365. Linda, what is it that that people can do in order to keep assisting so that you keep getting things coming in to help these women?
Well, you know, we have tremendous individual support. We get individual contributions, which is a very big part of our budget, actually. But I'd like to highlight, actually, one of our celebrities who is, she's going to be auctioned off, and it's Paulette Wingo, and she is Bob Wingo's wife. She's already been out to Via Maria, and she came out to have dinner with us one evening at our house meeting. We have a house meeting every week to just, you know, discuss the status of things. And she came out and took pictures of the women, and she's going to be preparing a workshop for them. And it's an educational workshop and an empowerment type of workshop to help empower them as individuals and as women. And so in that sense, that's how she is. That's one of the volunteer activities that we have there. Mm-hmm. But she came out and she just loved Via Maria. She loved, you know, you have to go visit to get a really sense of what it is. It's a beautiful home with 22 separate rooms for each woman. And we really try to empower them and encourage them and, you know, give positive feedback. And so, you know, and it's about educating them and providing services. So, you know, within all of those elements, there's volunteer opportunities wherever you look. Mm-hmm. So that's another way to contribute. And you can do that 365 days a year as well. We have a big volunteer program.
How would people be able to get a hold of you or either one of you in order to be able to volunteer in some form?
Well, they can call Via Maria at 544-5500, and they can ask to speak with me, Linda Velarde, or my volunteer coordinator, which is Crystal Mireles. And she'll figure out what the gifts are. And it kind of is reliant on what your gifts are as an individual person, what you can give back mm-hmm. to Via Maria. But it's good to come and visit. Yeah, it's a wonderful place.
I went very early on in the project just to see, just to get a good feel for what the project would finally blossom to be. And I've seen it grow in increments, mm-hmm. and it's really a beautiful project sitting in the middle of Segundo Barrio in a place where it feels like home. It always feels like home when mm-hmm. you go to Segundo.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I think we're lucky to be in Segundo Barrio and, you know, a couple blocks from Sacred Heart Church and, you know, a block from Sin Fronteras, which is the farm worker center. We're in this little biosphere of activity, and it's just a wonderful place.
It is true that the women, oftentimes you'll see them there. They'll come to the masses. They'll go have something to eat in La Tilma restaurant there on Saturday or Sunday. And oftentimes they'll get involved for our kermesses and other events. Of course, this weekend is our registration, as I mentioned earlier, for our classes that we have, adult education classes. Some of them afford their opportunity to take, you know, citizenship or English as a second language, primary, secondary, computers. And so there's a lot of things being offered there just in that that block. Mm-hmm. And so, but even so, we invite folks to come and see. As Linda said, it's important to come and see what's down there. A lot of folks wouldn't normally go down there. But we're blessed to have so many friends and so many benefactors that really make it a very loving and a holy place.
I've lived in different places in this career that I call radio and broadcasting, and every community has a Segundo Barrio. Mm-hmm. But not like this Segundo Barrio. This one has so much flair, so much personality. And the people are really, really friendly. They mm-hmm. really, when you're walking down the street, there's never a problem. There's always a smile on their face. Mm-hmm. And that's magical. That's truly magical.
Right.
You know, what a change, what a dramatic change from when I was a kid growing up there and things were a little more tense in the hood, as we used to call it, but now it's a neighborhood.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it stretches all the way to Cotton Street.
Sure. Yeah. You know, the word that comes to mind is genial. You know, whenever I'm going to work in the morning and I drive through and I see the viejitos with their hats and, you know, they're sitting on the corner. There's so much to look at down there and so much to feel how genuine that community is.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to be a part of that is, I feel very blessed to go get up and go to work in that neighborhood every day. And, you know, of course, to go with to Via Maria as well.
Yeah.
But it's a wonderful place to be. And yeah, we're lucky. The women are dignified there. And, you know, we all have a sense of purpose in that community.
What's really important about, for our listeners who have never been to Via Maria, do visit, because the first thing that will impact you is the dignity you're talking about. Because once they walk through the portals of that door, they realize that they can A, be empowered, that B, life is going to be just fine, and they get their dignity back, you know, from whatever it was that had them at some level. It's already back. You feel it. It's
sure.
pride.
Yes.
And you know, Dennis, I think anybody who walks through those doors feels an automatic relief and tranquility. For some reason, I've heard it from many people that have come to just to visit. And imagine how that feels to someone who has been out on the streets or who's coming from a violent home, or where you can walk into a place and it feels like heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's coming from where they might have come from, and it's but you know, people who just come to visit feel that same feeling when they just walking through the doors of Via Maria.
And people can come and visit, Dennis, so we encourage them to come by for a visit. It really is something special. You have to see it to believe it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And while they're there at Via Maria and they have a visit, they really should have a walking tour of mm-hmm. Segundo.
Yeah.
you because it's quite a unique experience, and in a positive way. This is a vibrant community again. It's now seems to have new faces coming into the neighborhood now. People that I've never seen before, you know, past 5 or 6 years are making their homes and their lives there. And I know we've had a couple of, now that we're coming up on the 10th anniversary of Katrina, I know there's a couple of families from Katrina who have decided to make their home in Segundo, and that's a wonderful thing, too. That says volumes for hanging out in El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
Yeah, I agree.
So let's go over the fundraiser once again about Under a Tuscan Sky and what people will what they'll experience once they walk through the doors and have a good time.
Well, again, like I said, so this is our signature event. It's called the Wine and Tapas Fundraiser, and we theme it every year. And this year's theme is Under a Tuscan Sky. So they're gonna, hopefully get very good Italian tasting treats and drinks. La Tilma is going to be providing the non-alcoholic beverages, which I think they're going to be doing Italian aguas frescas, including maybe a limoncello. And I'm not sure if that's going to have alcohol in it or not. And then, of course, I'll be wine and tapas. And, all of those things are donated to this event. We're very, very lucky to have such incredible people that help this event out,
and it's over there at 2201 East Mills Avenue, at the Epic Rail Yard Center. The first time I saw this place, I said, "Oh my God!" I said, "This feels like Soho, New York." It just felt like it's a whole different environment, mm-hmm. and so it's creative, it's lively. The music is excellent. Mm-hmm. And the food and the tapas is just really
the train's going by at night, and the doors are open. It's a big warehouse.
It's amazing. I mean, it's just really amazing for those people in El Paso. You know that there are even more secrets and little surprises that people discover, mm-hmm. even having been living here for many years. There's many little secrets and surprises. This is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is wonderful. And one of those, I don't want to call them a surprise, but one of the best things about about your fundraiser is who you snagged as your headliner. FM junkies are really cool.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? I'm glad that you're talking about them, because they are. And I'd seen them at a party and saw their setup, and I thought, oh wow, that is a big setup. They've got big speakers.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna definitely fill up the room. And so, we're thrilled that they're, and they too are giving us a great deal.
Wow.
And they're just. Everybody's been so wonderful to us. And, the some of the celebrities I mentioned, Paulette Wingo and Gaspar Enriquez has also, agreed to be one of our celebrities who's going to have a dinner at his home in the Lower Valley. And
oh,
so
nice.
That's a really wonderful, addition.
Mm-hmm. You have so many people coming together for such a wonderful event. And this, like you said earlier, will be continuing to grow in exponential leaps and bounds. And so I want to offer a blanket Mi Casa Su Casa anytime you want to come in and talk about anything that's happening with Via Maria. Father, anytime anything's happening down in Segundo with Sacred Hearts, please. We'd love to have you back.
Thank you so much. And little by little, I've come to know some really good celebrities here, and you're one of them. I do listen to you on the radio, and now I can put a face to the voice. Thank you so much for having us here.
I concur. I told you you're one of my heroes, and it's just a thrill to listen to you, and I hope that continues. I just love listening to you.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, I'm going to be part of this. I've made up my mind that I'm going to find a way to get to and back from Under a Tuscan Sky, because this is going to be fun.
Right. We'll get you a ride.
Okay. That'll work.
We can help with that.
Cool deal. Well, thank you very much, Linda Velarde, Father Ron Gonzalez. Thank you so much, Mi Casa Su Casa. We'll do it again next time.
Muchas gracias.
Via Maria is a treasure in El Paso, a transitional living center for single homeless women situated in the heart of Segundo Barrio. The 8th annual Wine and Tapas fundraiser is titled Under a Tuscan Sky, and it's set for Saturday, August 15th from 6 till 10 p.m. at the Epic Rail Yard Event Center, 2201 East Mills. Music by FM Junkies and a celebrity auction is included as well. The information's up on our website under the El Paso Primetime section of KTEP.org. Stay with us, especially if you're curious about e-cigarettes. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Crystal Dilworth. She's a neuroscientist and a frequent contributor to Techno, Al Jazeera America's weekly show that explores how the latest scientific discoveries are changing our lives. Crystal received her PhD in chemistry from Caltech, where she researched the molecular basis of nicotine dependence under the aegis of world-renowned Professor Henry A. Lester. Viewers can watch Techno Mondays at 4:30 in the afternoon on Al Jazeera America, here in El Paso on AT&T UVerse 1219, Time Warner 210, DirecTV 347, and Dish 216. And I want to go ahead and welcome in this afternoon Dr. Crystal Dilworth. Welcome to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you so much for having me.
Doctor, let me go ahead and ask the it's not a silly question to a lot of us in the media, but it certainly is one of those questions where I think mainstream audiences still don't understand what an e-cigarette is and how it works.
Oh, wow. So it's a vaporizing device that's composed of a heating element that heats up a liquid solution that contains propylene glycol, usually some colors and flavorings, and the addictive drug nicotine. It turns it into a vapor similar to water vapor or steam, which is then inhaled by the user.
Okay, so it's not really government regulated. There's over 7,700 different flavors of the nicotine that you can get for one of these little devices, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I guess the proponents to e-cigarettes would say it's not dangerous, but opponents certainly would agree that it is, especially when we're talking about secondhand vapor. Apparently, there are more than enough carcinogens being breathed in and breathed out that it could get to be a real hazard after a while.
Well, inhalation of anything that's unnatural is shown to cause vesicular damage, respiratory complications. This is why we have regulations for air quality, for instance, in the workplace. So that's not even just talking about, you know, e-cigarettes or conventional cigarettes. This is talking about what our human bodies need for continued health in general. I don't think that there has been many studies done on the effects of secondhand vape similar to the effects of secondhand conventional cigarette smoke, which we know is carcinogenic. But the main concern here is that it is, I guess you would say that it's not just the firsthand user experience, it's the experience of everyone around them and the ability to choose whether or not they're exposed to these chemicals or to this addictive substance or not.
At the beginning of the introduction, I mentioned that you've been working with Dr. Henry Lester from Caltech on cellular and synaptic mechanisms, nicotine addiction especially, and things that, you know, quite frankly, we understand regular cigarettes. We still don't understand E. And I guess if you could call it the brain balance. This actually could really affect the sensors in our brain to almost short circuit at times, no?
Well, if you ingested or injected enough nicotine, you would certainly seizure. But the receptor compounds in the brain that respond to nicotine are also serve natural functions in the brain, but when exposed to this particular compound, the composition of these proteins change. And so we know that there is an adaptation that happens in the brain when they're exposed to this compound, which is concerning for adults, but equally more concerning for adolescents, because their brains are still developing. So early exposure to addictive compounds like nicotine can actually influence the way that their brain sort of matures. And that is something that is definitely a concern. It's definitely a concern with as regards to electronic cigarettes because of the way that they're being marketed, because we go back to regulation. We're regulating how conventional cigarettes are marketed. They're prohibited from directing those advertisements towards children and towards teens, but you don't see those restrictions for electronic cigarettes at all. And they're actually going back and just repeating what the old tobacco companies did many, many years ago before those regulations were in place, pretty much updating those marketing materials and those advertisements and just turning them out on the street for e-cigarettes.
On the episode of Techno that aired this past Monday, there's a soundbite, actually, that I remember hearing that this one user said three puffs and all of a sudden he can feel the nicotine coursing. And I used to be a regular smoker, and I remember that I would never get that kind of a puff until later on after the cigarette is well done. So these e-cigarettes actually do push a little bit more into the system, it seems like, with the vaping.
You can sort of customize your own experience, which is one of the reasons that electronic cigarettes are so attractive. They're like any new technology device. You can get a really cool cover for it. You can make it reflective of your own personality. Mm-hmm. And that that is included in the enhancement of the experience itself, how big the puff is, how much nicotine you put in your device, how hot or what kind of metal you're using for the heating element. So this is all kind of part of the social aspects of vaping.
Yeah, I've been going over an article that was actually released back in 2002 by Mansfelder and McGee about the synaptic mechanism of nicotine addiction. And one of the things that I'm beginning to understand more and more about the e-cigarette, and now that you've explained that you can actually mix your own cocktail, literally, now I kind of understand how the addiction process happens. And then it begs the question, because you'll hear it from the proponents, well, it's a great way to use it as a nicotine suppressant. You can use that so that you can wean yourself off of smoking and then altogether. But I don't think that's actually true, is it?
It was absolutely marketed in the early 2000s as a smoking cessation device. That is the reason that it was originally invented, actually, was so that, like the patch, you would be able to step down the amount of nicotine that you're putting in your device and eventually wean yourself off that addictive component. But that's not the way that it's being used. I mean, the industry is growing, and the number of people that are choosing to expose themselves to nicotine isn't decreasing in any way. And you see that specifically in middle schoolers and high school students. Their use of conventional cigarettes is actually going down, but their use of hookah and electronic cigarettes and other nicotine delivery devices is increasing dramatically. I think it tripled in the last year. Specifically for that age group.
So let me ask you, Doctor, why the FDA is not getting into this arena to take a look fully into the e-cigarette craze, if you will.
I think that the FDA, like any government organization, just works very slowly. And we don't have a lot of comprehensive academic studies yet. Have given them the black and white data that they need to be able to justify making decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question. I'm holding in my hand a commercially made e-cigarette, a brand known as Finn. Mm-hmm. And it says that the inside the cartomizer is propylene glycol, glycerin, nicotine, I can't even pronounce that. That's way too big for my vocabulary. Suffice it to say, there's more than enough carcinogen if you burn it to really create some havoc, even more so than what you would normally have with a regular cigarette that has 600 additives. So do we panic about it? Do we wait until the government does something about it? What, as just regular people, what do we do?
I think from an adult perspective, I don't think that we should panic, but I certainly think that we should regulate it. What concerns me is because of the customizable aspect of this product, quality control mm-hmm. is a really big deal. And we show in the piece that on Techno that the percentage of nicotine that is listed on a container that you would buy from the store is not necessarily reflective of the percentage of nicotine that's in that container. So these are types of sort of consumer concerns that you should have. I mean, I really love coffee. I'm not going to stop going to Starbucks because I know that caffeine is addictive. Mm. But I'm able to educate myself on what the effects of exposing myself to coffee, you know, over my right. lifetime is going to have on me, and make an informed choice. I don't think we know enough about e-cigarettes to really be able to make an informed choice. We know that conventional cigarettes are bad for us. They're going to give us heart disease. They're going to give us lung cancer. That's a given. But with e-cigarettes, there's a probability that that won't be true or it won't be as bad. So we roll the dice if we're already addicted to nicotine.
Are there more than enough universities and colleges around the world now that are creating controlled groups to try to study the effects of e-cigarette?
You're asking a research scientist if enough research is being done. Of course, yeah. My answer is going to be no. but I think the type of studies that we need are population studies that include thousands, if not tens of thousands, of e-cigarette users and that study them and their health effects for 5, 10, 20, 25 years. And we're not going to get the results of those studies until that time has passed. And so right now, the best we can do is to regulate, to minimize the effect on our youth, to minimize the effect on the consumer population that is really trusting these manufacturers, giving them a trust, I guess, that they don't deserve, mm-hmm. And hope for the best.
Logically, a short-term longitudinal study would only be 3 to 5 years at this point, right?
Correct.
So that wouldn't even give you enough data to be able to sign on or off with an e-cigarette or the nicotine cessation device, if you want to call it that, or if they choose to call them that sort of a thing. So logically, okay, and we're talking about the youth that are getting into the hookah thing and to the whole notion of the e-cigarettes. How do we regulate without really having to tell the parents that you have to start regulating before anybody else does? I mean, how does a city does it take ordinance?
I mean, and I'm speaking only personally here. I mm-hmm. can't speak sure. for anyone else, but I think that there's already a system in place. We regulate conventional tobacco products in a certain way. We say you can't market them to children. There's an age limit for when you can legally buy these products.
Well, Doctor, I want to thank you very, very much for contributing to this episode of El Paso Primetime, and I'd love to bring you back from time to time to talk about all kinds of little goodies that you're working on, because I know you're so busy.
I am. I do a lot, but thank you so much for having me.
There are so many wonderful people doing so many wonderful things, not only here in El Paso, but around the world. Today, you met three of them. Linda Velarde, Via Maria's executive director, Father Ron Gonzalez from Sacred Heart Church, and Dr. Crystal Dilworth, a neuroscientist who also has a passion for mixing the arts with science. Something fun to do tonight and tomorrow is the St. Thomas Aquinas Festival in East El Paso. They're located at East Glen at Bywood, east of Lee Trevino. Our executive producer is Deidre Westenhauser, who recorded and co-edited the show along with Bridget McAllister. Have a great weekend. Tune in again next time for a live edition of El Paso Primetime.